phase one is definitely first stop doing things that make you weak, and then you move on to doing what makes you strong. And so it's the same analogy here that, you know, as we're embarking on trying to help our kids, stopping stuff that doesn't help has to be the first step. How is it possible for a parent of a child with autism to become the superhero their child needs now? I'm Len.
And I'm Cass. When our son was diagnosed with moderate to severe autism, we went all in. We spent over a decade learning everything we could on how we could transform to help our son thrive. And guess what? He's doing it. This year, he ran for class president.
Each week on this podcast, we will be sharing the secrets needed for you to become the superhero your child needs.
If you want to learn how to tap into your innate superpowers to help your child thrive, visit AutismParentingSecrets.com.
Hello and welcome to Autism Parenting Secrets. This episode's about finding answers for your child and how often we dive in to take action fast without really pausing to consider whether we as the parents need to change and perhaps for us to stop doing something that we're currently doing. And if we do this, it increases our odds of success. So the secret this week is what you stop doing matters more than what you start. What is this whole concept of what you stop doing is more important than what you start? Really, the whole myriad of options that you have in front of you in terms of things that you can do to help you, your child, the whole situation, there's really two phases. And the first one is, we would argue, to first, do no harm, as it's said in the Hippocratic Oath for doctors, right? The first thing that you want to do if you're trying to improve something is to stop doing harm, if you can. And if you look at it from that lens, that really is step one. And step two is then to start doing things that help or things that heal. And if you don't do phase one and stop stuff that's actually holding you back, you're immediately limiting your potential. And you're kind of putting a cap on what you might be able to achieve. So this concept of stop doing things first or early on before you start diving in to do things that help is a pretty powerful one.
And it's also often, like, I know what was true for us is when we got the autism diagnosis, we wanted to jump right in. The doctor told us we needed to start therapy for Rye. So we started therapy right away without even kind of digesting and thinking about, okay, what does this all mean? What are we doing? Why are we doing this? And really kind of setting forth like, okay, how can we just kind of level set all of this?
Early on, I mean, I'm speaking for myself. I think I'm speaking for Cash. He'll correct me. But, you know, I think we came in, the diagnosis occurred. It was obviously an overwhelming thing. But we were like, okay, no, we got this. We're going to correct things. And really, we thought we were hot shit. We didn't think that we had, you know, any baggage or issues. We, you know, our son was the one with the obvious problems. So at least I thought I was good. I thought I had the right mindset. I thought I was capable. I really thought that I ate healthy, at least relative to other people. And I thought I was a pretty, you know, I was accepting and patient and all those things, you know, but once autism entered our life and our son exhibited behaviors and all the things that were so challenging early on, our son was really showing us that we were full of shit, that we, Cass and I, needed to relearn and we needed to make changes.
But it took us like 5 years to figure that out. Yeah. I mean, oh, like, that's where I'm like, yeah, instantly it's like, oh no, he's broken.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
no, nice clarification because, yeah, this didn't happen in a couple of days. Yeah, it took us years. So I'm sorry, I'm not the greatest storyteller, but yeah, it took us a while. And ultimately, we needed to learn to become coachable. And that was a very long process for us. For you or anyone listening, this can be so much shorter. And so the idea is that if we didn't become coachable and didn't become open to relearning and questioning the habits that we had, the beliefs we were holding, and just how we were operating, if we didn't make changes, then we absolutely know now looking back that, well, number one, we wouldn't have achieved the personal growth that Cass and I feel like we've achieved and we're so proud of. That's really serving us well now with our son in terms of how we're showing up. And there's no question he would have been held back by our lousy habits, our poor strategies, the harsh judgments we had of him and ourselves.
Well, and I love it because, as you know, when Zach Bush was on the podcast with Dr. Zach, he even reminded us, it's like when he laid me down on that table during Rye's appointment and he pointed to that stress point on my face, like, Mom, you release this, he's going to feel it. So it just shows us that our kids are totally mirroring what we're doing and how we're showing up. So of course, we need to be coachable, because if we influence our kids, then we need to really truly work on ourselves so we can then support our kids as that strongest self. I put out a quote card this week that I just loved, because it's like, you need to shine for your child to sparkle, right? So we really, it matters how we as the parent show up. So if we can be that coachable version of ourselves, so we can actually become that parent we need to be to support our child. And we really have to kind of throw out how we were necessarily raised and what our expectations were for parenthood, because what we thought in our mind and that story we told ourselves of, oh, I'm going to be a mom and this is what it's going to look like. Let's be honest. That's like a television script, you know, for a sitcom versus what reality is.
Yeah. And the overall inspiration of us wanting to talk about this concept, because it really is, even if you just stop doing things that weren't helping and didn't even do any of the second phase, there's huge wins from that. But the inspiration of why we're talking about this is, even now, diet's been such a gigantic part of how we have found the most benefit in terms of helping all of us to become healthier and more connected. So food's always a big topic in our house. And recently, we decided we're going to, you know, be curious and to experiment with changing our diet slightly and doing more of a lectin-free diet, kind of following Dr. Stephen Gundry's plant paradox, which is very intriguing, very compelling. And so we're looking to do that for a month. And one of the things in the book that Dr. Gundry talks about is this exact statement, that what you stop eating is much more important than what you start eating. Because his whole philosophy is that there's a lot of things in certain foods and vegetables which seem healthy but really aren't, and he's got his reasons for it. So it's him introducing that one statement that got us thinking that that really applies overall, truly, to the journey. And we've had some guests on, and we've touched on this concept, and it can be said a number of different ways. So even with the work that I've been doing over the last 5 years or so, I became a Bulletproof coach, a Human Potential Institute coach, with, you know, kind of focusing on biohacking and improving, you know, helping people upgrade their body and their brain through taking some interventions. And even with Dave Asprey and the whole bulletproof approach that he talks about, he breaks it into the same type of phases. He may have multiple phases, but phase one is definitely, first, stop doing things that make you weak. And then you move on to doing what makes you strong. And so it's the same analogy here, that, you know, as we're embarking on trying to help our kids, stopping stuff that doesn't help has to be the first step.
And it reminds me of that joke when you're little, like, doctor, doctor, it hurts when I do this. So the doctor's like, hey, don't do that. It's like, you know, if we're thinking about it from that lens, it's like, what, you know, what we could be doing might be causing some of that, you know, the behaviors, or you might feel weaker, or you might not feel your strongest self. So just kind of thinking about that start and stop is really important. And the other Hippocrates quote that I love is, before you heal someone, ask him if he's willing to give up the things that made him sick. And this ties directly back into food, as Len was mentioning, because food is that foundation, and food, we know, is one of the root causes of inflammation. And we know that inflammation is, you know, 95% of disease nowadays is linked back to inflammation. So if you can use the food as that foundation and take away all the garbage or the ingredients you might not be able to pronounce, and go back to what food was like that 100-120 years ago when you actually had to make it, and just think about, like, hey, if I'm willing to kind of start at this point, which was good enough for my you know, grandparents or great grandparents, what might that do for my child? And hey, if behaviors and things go away during this, isn't that the power? So when Len had come to me saying that he was going to follow Dr. Stephen Gundry for a month, I was like, oh my God, there's elements of this that absolutely make complete sense. We know that we've been reliant a little bit, probably too much on rice lately. We can always take a break. And so it's kind of going into something with that flexibility. Hey, I'm going to set this goal. I'm going to establish what that timeline is, and then I'm going to go after it. And then once that 30 days up, we can reevaluate, is this something that truly makes sense for our family go forward, or what will that iteration be?
Yep. And the other comparison of this concept goes back to another episode that we did. If you go back to episode 20, where we had a conversation with Patty Lemmer and her book, Outsmarting Autism, and she touches on this exact concept there as well, which is the first thing you want to do is to establish a strong foundation. I mean, that is such an incredibly key first step. And part of building that strong foundation is to stop the stuff that absolutely is going to inhibit progress and growth. And if you don't change it, and it's part of your foundation, it's going to create a shaky foundation, which will topple unless you get it right the first time.
Well, and it's interesting. So right after Rye was diagnosed with autism, we actually sold our house and we moved into a green building that purified our air and water and was made with non-toxic materials. Because the one thing that you as the parent always has the choice is like, okay, what do I want to surround my child with? And if you can make those choices be as, you know, we always, Len and I, our premise was always, we don't ever want to do harm. And what could possibly, you know, set him up for success? So setting that foundation by removing things that had the possibility of being triggers was just one of the ways that we helped his body heal from his bowel disease and heal from all of his immune issues that he had, because we weren't adding extra noise into the mix.
Yeah, but that's starting to get into more, okay, what kind of things could we do to help? And we made sure that we didn't cause further harm. But again, early, we spent years, I don't even know exactly how many, but just diving into, okay, let's try this. Let's do this. So let's do this therapy. Let's do this supplement. Let's do these other things. And yeah, we were cautious. We didn't do anything that we thought felt could cause harm. We only focused on things that had an upside and that we felt good about. But even before focusing on those, you know, hey, what can we do? Which is where I think we all tend to start. Just what can I do to fix this? There's just so much opportunity to look at, okay, well, what right now is happening that when I really think about it, needs to stop in order, again, for me to help my child get to where he wants to go, for us as a family to get to where we want to go. It's really that pausing.
And that alone is key, that pausing. Because once you get that diagnosis, you jump on that hamster wheel and you keep running. And it's like that ability to pause, reevaluate, really come together and figure out what that is. There's so much power there.
And that's so hard. It's, I mean, if anybody told me to pause at any time, I would have just knocked them over because, you know, you're feeling the pressure. You want to help. You want things to, and if you're dealing with behaviors and, or you're seeing your child in pain, you don't have time. You have no tolerance for that going on any longer, 1 minute longer. So yeah, so it's a very different thing to become aware of early on, is that idea of the opportunity for the pause button, for really thinking what does need to stop, whether it's something that you're doing or something that someone else is doing. The bottom line is you probably have more control to change things than you think. At least that was true for me. Initially, I felt like so much was out of my control. And when I really looked at it and I really got creative and really just spent time objectively looking at things, there was a lot more I had sway over, a lot more things I could influence. And again, with that comes an increase in the power, and that's where you start making better decisions and you start feeling more empowered. You start feeling better on the journey. So the things you can do today are really simple. Just one, reflect on this statement, on this concept, the secret we just shared. Pause and reflect on, what is it that I can stop doing now? Because it's so important that this needs to be done before I start doing something that might help.
Well, and I guess the to the ability to pause too is so powerful. Even if you're into something, you're taking supplements. I always remember just taking that break was always like hitting that pause button, even though you know what you were supposed to do. But like we've said, forget the supposed to, do what feels right for you.
And then in terms of, as you're asking yourself this question and you're saying, okay, what is it that I know is not helping and needs to stop? The idea of just getting in a quiet space, dropping down into your body in whatever way that feels right to you. Don't try to analyze this with your head and your mind. That's not the place for it. So whether you're dropping into your heart, whether you're dropping into your lower belly or sacral space, just get more in tune with your body to see what comes up in terms of what right now do you truly know, now that you're pausing, is something that does need to change. And if you can choose one thing, just one, and decide, is it something you can take action now? Can you do something immediately? Or if it's something that's a little bit more of a project to change it, then can you set up a real specific goal with a date and to help, you know, focus your efforts? And the idea, the one thing, if you're struggling, okay, well, what might be one thing I'm doing right now? It could be diet related. It could be related to food, a food that you don't think is going to help. It could be something related to therapy and the people who are around your child or the type of therapy you're doing, you know, and or maybe just feedback that a particular therapist needs to hear for something that you know is right for your child. And it could also be related to the practitioners you have, the doctors and the other people that you might see. If something doesn't feel right, it might be time to stop and to change and to start with someone else. You know, for right now, I would say, as I'm talking to you and thinking about this for ourselves, for us, we know it's screen time. Screen time is definitely something that we know needs to stop. It needs to be cut back for our kids especially and for us. And that's an obvious one. And it's been obvious for a while, and we haven't really done anything about it. And so I'm thankful for this episode because it's going to enable me to
besides the rice elimination, now you're getting screen time off too.
Well, it's important. So I'm going to set myself a goal to curtail screen time in a fun way for our kids. We'll make it fun. We'll make it something that doesn't feel horrible, but otherwise we know it's not helping. And the more time they're connected and eyes are glued onto the screens, then the less other important things are going to go on for them, whether it's them learning, you know, with their in school or just being in nature. And it's about getting a balance, and the screen time, as much as we hate to admit it, has become a big problem because we feel like we really limit and we kind of.
But then you have school online. Yeah, never mind.
It's a challenge given the current environment for sure, but doesn't mean that we can't take some action to move us in the right direction. And that's what we plan on doing personally. So we will be applying these steps as well after this episode. But hopefully this gives you some practical ways to try to make this concept something that moves from a concept into something more that is something that you can internalize and see what speaks to you, for you, your child, and your family. But truly, you know, we have come to embrace this, that what you stop doing does matter more than what you start. It doesn't mean that you can't start doing improvements. Of course you want to, but just don't ignore the first step.
Absolutely. It's a great place to start. And you know what? It's easy. It's easy to look at it to stop.
Yeah, it's an easy process to have the awareness and to make a decision. Yes, you may not perfectly execute and you may have to try making this change and implementing it multiple times, but that's part of the process.
But the cool thing is there's nothing to buy and there's nothing to source. You're just stopping something you're already doing.
Yeah, it's kind of like fasting. It's, you know, it can be a challenge for a lot of people, but it is really simple. You just don't do anything. You just stop. And so in this case, yeah, if it's within your control and it's not helping, you absolutely can stop something that's not serving you and not serving your child. So we hope this helps, and we are wishing you great success.
Want to learn how to avoid the 33 mistakes most autism parents make? Get your free training today. Visit autismparentingsecrets.com/unstoppable.